Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we have the privilege of being joined over the phone by Caleb Atkins. Caleb, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. And Caleb lives in Lynchburg, Virginia, and is at Compassion Church of the Nazarene. And we'll get into his testimony. But Caleb, if you would just like to start out telling us about where you're from and a little bit about how you grew up.
Yeah, great. I wasn't always in Lynchburg, that's for sure. I was actually born in Kenya to missionary parents, and spent the first 3 years of my life in Tanzania, where they were missionaries. And then when I was about 3 years old, we moved to Canada, just outside of the Toronto area, where I effectively grew up. And so spent my childhood in Canada, and then ended up to Liberty University. So Africa to Canada to here in Lynchburg, I think makes me a little bit culturally confused. But here I am. And so I've kind of been all over the place, but I've settled here in the Lynchburg area and then lived here now for the last, I don't know, almost 20 years now.
That's great. Do you have any memories at all from being on the mission field?
I have like one just random memory of playing in a sandbox in Africa, but you know, unfortunately, I was so young when I left. So all my memories are of cold winters in Canada. So
I can only imagine how cold that was.
Yeah, it gets pretty cold.
Yeah. So what took you all to Canada?
Yeah, so when I was three, my dad was called back to Canada to assume the director role of the mission that we were a part of. And so he assumed that role and spent the next, I guess, about two decades as the director of a non-denominational mission that was headquartered just outside of Toronto. Okay. So that's what brought us back to Canada.
So growing up, a few years on the mission field, but then in Canada, with your dad being part of this mission, this director of missions, what was it like being part of a family that was in missions, so to speak, whether it be on the mission field, but also still in missions in Canada there? What was it like growing up in your family?
Yeah, so growing up to missionary parents, faith was a part of our life, you know, as early as I can remember. So I guess I would point to two things, you know, faith being a part of our life. And then also my dad, I don't know if it was intentionally, but he taught us sort of a global outlook on life. So I grew up knowing that the world was big. I grew up knowing that Canadians weren't the only people in the world, so to speak.
Yeah.
So he kind of instilled in us a global outlook on life, which I'm so grateful for. So that's one thing. And then church and faith was always a part of our life. So I don't remember a time where we didn't go to church, so to speak. So from a very early age, both of those things were really driven into my heart, I guess. And so I'm really grateful for that way of growing up.
Do you recall, like some people can say, hey, when I was a kid, I was this age and I accepted Christ, or maybe it was later in life. What was that for you?
Yeah. So I grew up in a different tradition than the Nazarene tradition, but I do remember very early in my life, maybe five or six, you know, going to my parents and saying, I'd like to accept Jesus into my heart. And so very early on, I had a recollection. I was baptized shortly thereafter. So very early, but didn't necessarily call faith my own until later in life. So, you know, at that point it was, I see my parents, I see how they live, and I see the people in the church, I see how they live, and I want to be like that too. Mm. So, you know, it was very early I was interested in that. But again, not until later in life I make it my own or fully dedicate my life to live for Jesus.
Right. So God doesn't have any grandchildren, right? And so our faith has to become our own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've said that was later in life. What did that look like?
Going to the Bible, skip a decade and a little bit. I attended Liberty University here in Lindbergh, and I guess I'll take a step back and talk about how I lived in high school.
Okay.
And set up the story a little bit better. Basically, in high school, I lived two different lifestyles. At church on Sunday or a group on Friday night, you know, I was a good Christian kid who played on the worship team, and parents were at church and could recite most of the Bible stories and all that. But at my secular high school, I was desperate to fit in. So I would go with the flow and do what the crowd was doing. So, you know, I found myself living two different lives. It wasn't until my first week here at Liberty where I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, take a look in the mirror and decide which way you want to go. And I just remembered an overwhelming sense of the Lord calling me towards Him. And so I think it was in one of the first worship services or prayer meetings at Liberty where I just had this overwhelming sense of God's presence. And, you know, went forward to the altar and sought out one of the spiritual leaders of my dorm and just said, look, I confess some sin to you. I've not been living as I should. And I want at this point to fully surrender to Jesus. And so that was the moment where I took the step and said, you know what, this is my faith. I'm going to live for Jesus. And this is my decision, not my parents' decision or not my environment or whatnot. So that was the moment where it was like, yep, there it is. I'm fully mm-hmm. surrendered.
Yeah.
How did you hear about Liberty, or what made you decide to go to Liberty after you graduated high school?
I don't know if complex, but it's an all over story. My parents visiting, I've got extended family in the California area. And so we were visiting my grandparents and visiting a supporting church. And one of the families in that church invited us over for lunch. And over for lunch, one of their sons was attending Liberty and playing baseball at the time. He just mentioned, oh, yeah, you know, I go to Liberty. It's a great school. You should check it out. Not much more than that. And so that planted a seed in my mind. And Liberty actually does a really good job of recruiting Canadian students. And so they send the bus from Toronto down to Liberty. I don't know if they still do it, but they send them down for college for a weekend. So I jumped on a bus and took a 12-hour drive and spent a weekend at Liberty and just fell in love with the school and the students that were hosting me, just fell in love with the school. And on the bus ride home, I applied to Liberty, and that was the only school I applied to. So yeah, it's kind of a weird how the connections were made. But to take it one step further, my first semester at Liberty, I joined a ministry team who did youth ministry and did some music and around. And I went to the first meeting for that youth ministry. Same student from California who invited me to Liberty was now the drummer on that ministry team. Mm-hmm. So it was like this crazy Canada to California to Lynchburg connection that really, if I'm trying to describe it, it's like only God can write that together. Only God can put things together like that. And that student who invited me to Liberty from California, he and I are still really good friends to this day. So, you know, when I look back, it's just really cool to see how all the fingers are, you know, how the map connects and how everything lines up like that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love to use the idea of a tapestry, how interwoven and just a meal at someone's house, a moment in time, led to really that one conversation really impacts the trajectory of your life.
Oh, for sure. The eternal impact of that one meeting for lunch is crazy. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Just to see how that happened. And then it wasn't just a once and done and get you to Liberty or whatever. It was like a long-term friendship that's come out of that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's awesome, yeah.
To know that we serve a God that cares that much individually about the details in our life, that He orchestrates things like that. It's not an accident. It's not coincidence that He loves us that much, that He puts people in our paths and puts us in other people's paths to help our relationship with Him and to let us know that He's pursuing us and that He loves us.
That's it. And even as I sit here, it's a great exercise for me to remember that. So, yeah. So thanks for prompting that.
Yeah, that's just the beauty of God's kingdom. And so you were at Liberty. Where did you decide to go to church? Did you go to Compassion, or was there another? Like, what did that look like during your college years?
Yeah, so most of my college years I spent, it was either at campus church or some of the local churches in the area. So here's another, I'll call it a God wink story about attending church. So I moved off campus, it's probably my junior year. And so there's three of us who lived in this apartment. Two of us kind of grew up in the same tradition, and the third roommate, he attended Compassion Church. Well, then it was Lynchburg First Church of the Nazarene. And so the other two roommates, myself and my other friend, would kind of give him a hard time because we really didn't understand what the Nazarene tradition was all about. So we, you know, good natured, kind of give him a hard time. And, you know, fast forward 10 years or so, both he and I are now on staff at that Nazarene church. So if you know Pastor Brad and myself, we were the two roommates giving the third roommate a hard time. So yeah, most of college was kind of in campus church or some local churches. And it wasn't until I graduated that I started attending here in Lynchburg.
That's a cool story. I thought that you and Brad had gone to college together, but your third roommate, he got the final laugh, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah, he now lives in Oregon. So, he left us here. So.
Looks like he might have led you to the right place.
I think so.
So did you study ministry at Liberty? And then how did you, said this friend of yours was Nazarene, and how did you end up at Compassion? Because you said mostly during your college years, you just went to the campus church or some other local churches in the area.
Yeah. So I guess, first of all, at Liberty, I studied communications. So with a focus in graphic design. And so I also received a minor in youth ministry. So ministry was always part of my life. It, maybe on the back burner a little, always in life. But my main focus in college was graphic design and media and production. So, and then after college, graduating was sort of the time where it's like, you know, I got interested now in committing to a church and sort of not just attending church here and there, and but really saying, you know what, I want to make this a part of my life. So I'd graduated and the three of us roommates had kind of gone our separate ways, but I'd remembered Lynchburg First Church of the Nazarene because of that third roommate. So I was like, you know what, let me go and check it out. So I went one Sunday, and I think you know him pretty well, Pastor Stephen. He remembered my phone number and called me, I think, that afternoon just to touch base. And I think he may have even invited me to an upcoming golf tournament or something. But I can remember thinking, you know what? The lead pastor is interested in a visitor. I think it's pretty special. So, you know, I remember just thinking, I think this is the kind of church that I want to be a part of and the kind of church I want to serve in. So it was because of that personal connection that really kind of cemented it. And, you know, I didn't even look at other churches after that. I was like, you know what, I can see myself serving in this church. So
yeah, it does matter. Follow-up matters, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, it does.
And
yeah,
having that genuine interest in others is so important.
Yeah.
And man, Pastor Stephen's really good at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So now, if I'm not mistaken, after college, did you work at Liberty for a while?
I did. Before I graduated, I was fortunate enough to land a job in their marketing department doing graphic design. So, and I ended up working at Liberty for almost a decade. So I moved from graphic design and ended up in video production. So, yes, spent almost 10 years working at Liberty in media and production. So, yeah.
Now you work at Compassion Church of the Nazarene. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and what you're doing there at Compassion.
Yeah. So what triggered that was, again, Pastor Stephen. He approached me at one of our men's retreats and just said, hey, you know, we've got a potential opportunity for you to come on staff as a—I forget the words. We'll just say creative director. And are you interested? And what he may or may not have known was that I had been interested in a change for the past, it had been, you know, 4 or 5 years or so. And so, you know, naturally I said, absolutely, let's talk. And so that was 2007, I believe it was. And so that was, you know, fast forward a few months, and I said, you know, absolutely, I would love to come on staff and be a part of the church and use the gifts that God has given me to serve the church. And so, so yeah, 2007 officially began my staff part of Compassion Church. But prior to that, I'd been serving and attending the church and been pretty involved. So it was an opportunity that I jumped at, and I was so grateful for, and still I'm grateful for, to be here. So.
Well, I know that they are grateful to have you.
Yeah.
So there's two things I want to ask you about. You choose which one to go first on. Your family, and then you were there doing graphic design and all of that, and you've been called to ministry too, a deeper call as pastor. So you choose which one of those. I'm anxious to hear about if it was at Liberty that you met your wife.
Yeah,
we might have jumped over that one.
Yeah. That's a pretty important one, so we'll jump into that one. So yeah, we my wife and I did meet at Liberty in class, and so she's from the Chicago area, and I'm from Canada, so Midwesterner and a Northerner. And so I remember, you know, I was a little bit older in school. I think I was a year ahead or behind or whatever. However you look at, I don't think she had a relationship on her radar at all. And so she would go to class with her friends, and I was kind of in the corner watching and strategically put myself in a good spot so that I could be in one of her group projects. So strangely enough, people would say, did you pay him? But the third person in our group didn't show up for one of our group meetings. And so, you know, I was like, oh, this is quite nice. And that, you know, I asked her out on our first date after that. So yeah, we met in class, and, we share kind of an interest in missions. She had done some missions trips, and that was one of the sparks that kind of, you know, kicked off our relationship. But yeah, we met in class, and it was a couple of years after we graduated that we got married. So it wasn't the ring before spring thing, but we did get married several years after graduation. And then fast forward now, quite a few years, we have an 8-year-old son and a 2-year-old son in our family. So two rambunctious boys at two very different stages in life, but we're so blessed to have our family of four here in Lynchburg. So
that's great. That's great. Did you get married in the Midwest, in Lynchburg, or Canada?
I'm all over the place. So we got married near Orlando. So her parents ended up moving to the Orlando area right around our graduation in college. So it's, I've been all over, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got married in Orlando and settled back here in the Lynchburg area. And, yeah, we love it. It's a great place to raise a family and to hopefully see our boys grow up.
Yeah, that's great. So fast forward a few years. Tell us about your call to ministry.
Yeah. So I can remember, and I apologize if we're kind of jumping all over the timeline, but.
It's all right. It's good. It's
your story. I remember, yeah, thanks. I remember in high school when Photoshop was just released, I remember playing around with it and making something for my dad, or I remember thinking, man, this is so cool. But I also remember sitting through a lot of bad missionary presentations. And so I remember I'm like, you know what? Maybe I can help with this. So maybe I can build something. And so that was I can point to that as the first seed where God was like, hey, this is something I can use. This is something I can use you for in life. And so I remember going into college and saying, well, why don't I pursue graphic design and sort of build my craft in that? And so that became a career. But ministry was always a part of my life. So, you know, being on worship team and as a high school student, and then being a part of the worship team in college. And so it's, you know, it's always been a part of my life. So it was, it's weird. It's almost like it's just like a glove that fits. But then once I graduated and kind of worked in professionally in graphic design, it wasn't until coming on staff here at Compassion Church where I felt a deeper calling to pastoral ministry. And, you know, Pastor Stephen and Pastor Kevin had a big role in sort of guiding me through that. But that's when I was like, you know, I can use graphic design and that's great. I can use media and that's great. But I feel like the Lord is calling me to a deeper, deeper waters of ministry. And so that's when, I think it was maybe 2008 where I was like, I made the decision to pursue ordination through the Church of the Nazarene. And so I've been walking through that process slowly but steadily over the last few years, last 6 or 7 years. But yeah, it's always been an interest, but and God's always sort of prodded me in that direction, starting, I would say, in high school, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, and just to look at your life and see the continual thread, for lack of a better term, that of ministry through worship and and through graphic design and all of that. Like, it's not really, you've not went from one extreme to the other. It's just been more of and deeper, which is really cool that he takes those desires and as we are faithful, he grows that and guides us into what he has for us.
Yeah. Caleb, thank you for joining us today. What else would you like to share about your testimony? Maybe you haven't shared already or that we haven't asked you already.
Yeah. As I was thinking through this a little bit, I'd love to take a little bit of time and if it's okay with you and just talk about faith through through shadows, faith through difficult times in life, faith when things kind of don't make sense. So maybe I can take some time and just long story short, you know, the last few years have just been there's been a lot of just difficult things that have happened. You know, 5 years, almost 6 years ago, I lost my dad to cancer. And even the last, you know, few months, I've seen friends lose their parents and, you know, just the kind of things that make you scratch your head and kind of start to question, like, you know, God, where, you know, some of the Psalms, right? God, where are you in all this? And, you know, these are difficult, faith-shaking things that I'm going through. You know, what are you teaching me or where are you in all this? And, you know, I don't claim to have all the answers, but, just through the difficulty to steadily return to, Jesus who, promises to be with us. And so, you know, I think we often, or I often want answers or things packaged neatly into a bow and say, oh, you know, you're struggling or you're going through this because of this, or, you know, it's A plus B equals C kind of thing. But, you know, I'm learning through these difficulties or, you know, walking through friends who lose loved ones or, you know, losing a loved one yourself, just realizing that God is outside of that equation, and he's familiar with the suffering and the pain, is a very hard lesson to learn, but a very good lesson to learn, that God is with us even in those difficult times, even in the desert, even in, you know, the wasteland where it's hard to see things. God is faithful to walk through them with you, and I wish I could say it's that easy, but it's kind of some of the things I've been learning over the last few years, maybe even 5 years, of just how to walk through difficult situations like that. So, you know, that's something that I really have on my heart right now, of just how you know, to walk through difficulty while holding on to faith, I guess. So.
Yeah, and I think it's those shadows that you mentioned. When we don't deal with the shadows, they become a really dark cloud.
Mm-hmm.
That can, as we are trying to walk with other people, we have to have the people in our own life to help us walk through those places, right?
Yeah.
It takes a community. We just had a conversation recently about this on our staff, just the shadows. And
mm-hmm.
It is a real thing. And I had my Bible laying open earlier to the scripture. And it's a scripture, actually, that I use a lot of times at a funeral. But I love it. Psalm 46.
Mm-hmm.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And sometimes life just feels like that, right? Like it's a reality, not just feels, but it's like, what is happening right now? And I won't read all of Psalm 46, but at the end of Psalm 46, these beautiful words. In verse 10, he says, Be still and know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
He is unchanging, and he's never forsaken us when it feels like everything's falling apart. And my guess is that it is in those times that calls us to seek him even more. And he's faithful to meet us in the shadows and in those places.
That's it.
And our faith has the opportunity to grow deeper. I'm so grateful that you brought that out today, because I think it is something that some of those things sometimes we don't want to say out loud, right?
We don't.
That we're questioning, right. Or that, you know, and those are opportunities for us to be real. I have a friend that asks me a question often, and she'll say, how is your soul? Which is a very different question than how are you? But I often, you know, I think those are the places that we have a choice.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Caleb. It's really brought me hope. And what is, kind of in closing as a last question, we call this program Hope Talks. So despite the difficulty, the shadows, the hard times, what has brought you hope, or how has he brought you hope during these times?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to actually go back to Psalm 46 there. I love Psalm 46. Verse 4 says, there's a river whose streams mm-hmm. make glad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The holy place where the Most High dwells. My second son, the 2-year-old, is actually named River out of this psalm. So there's that connection is very near and dear and close to my heart. And so I think the hope, despite the shadows, is that God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us, mm-hmm. He chose to give up his place in heaven and enter our shadows mm-hmm. to give us eternal life. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, shadows are dark and they're uncomfortable, but if we follow Jesus, he shows us that his light is faithful to be in shadows as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think despite the difficulty sometimes, knowing that Emmanuel, God with us, I've got to hang on to that. Yeah. I've got to attach myself to that, because mm-hmm. it'll light up those shadows. Yeah, I might not right. see it today. But, you know, in 10 years, I'll be able to look back and say, there you were, Lord. Mm-hmm. There you were, right?
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. So that gives me hope.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing with us today, Caleb. It's been great to have you on Hope Talks.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that today, as you've heard Caleb Atkins' testimony, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.